Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, I am still in Los Angeles, so no shows to report on, but as always, there is stage news, including a steaming controversy out here that may have impact beyond the Pacific. I was also privileged to speak with a few highly impressive folks doing theater for all the right reasons. Now, the big news of the week in the theater world is of the unhappy variety, though living 91 amazingly creative and successful years can hardly be called a tragedy. Nevertheless, the death of Hal Prince, one of the most important forces on stages of all sizes and shapes, has rocked the Broadway community. Prince, of course, was producer, director, visionary. His resume, though that's far too meager a word, included West Side Story, Phantom of the Opera, Fiddler on the Roof, Cabaret, Evita, and Sweeney Todd. He won 21 Tonys, his first being for The Pajama Game in 1955. He was an impresario, but also a great collaborator. He and Stephen Sondheim worked closely multiple times. Looking back, it almost seems there were very few critical productions that did not have his name on it. Except for the last one, unfortunately, a Broadway venture 2 years ago called Prince of Broadway. It turned out to be a disappointing and short-lived production. It could certainly play around the country as a review and reminder of the great numbers from Prince's shows. Just toss out the unsatisfying and superficial dialogue in between. I've only done obits a few times here, I think. Mike Nichols, Edward Albee, and most recently Neil Simon. Well, I think you'd have to say that in terms of his breadth of work, his challenging and always innovative impact, Hal Prince was, well, the king. Now, on to another bit of sad, albeit slightly tawdry news. That would be the firing of Academy Award winner Faye Dunaway, who was working on a one-woman show about Katharine Hepburn, one that had hopes of moving to Broadway. Now, you may recall that when I first reported on that, I said I did not see the project, at least with her involvement, going the distance. Dunaway is, by all accounts, a difficult personality. Her behavior on this has been compared to her performance as Joan Crawford in Mommy Dearest. Ouch. The last time we saw Dunaway, sadly, was with her former Clyde, Warren Beatty, announcing the wrong winner at the Oscars. Not really their fault, by the way. Hey, anyone who was a big part of Bonnie and Clyde, Chinatown, a network, has given us plenty to applaud. Now, we often talk here about the importance of recognizing all kinds of theater and to realize that it goes on just about everywhere. Well, this past week I heard from a woman named Missouri Moyo, a former nurse born in Paterson, New Jersey, but now she lives in Florida. And for 10 years she has been developing a one-woman show about Fannie Lou Hamer, the civil rights activist who became famous when she stood up at the 1964 Democratic Convention demanding more black participation from Mississippi and uttered the words, "I am sick and tired of being sick and tired." And that is the name of the show, which Moyo will do this week in Atlanta for a special event at which Stacey Abrams will be the keynote speaker. I first heard of Fannie Lou in the 80s, Moyo told me, and I just couldn't get over what she went through. She also sings about a dozen songs in the show, including Strange Fruit and This Little Light of Mine. She calls this a get-out-the-vote performance in which she plays a few other characters in Hamer's life, including family members and even Strom Thurmond. Moyo contacted me when she read a piece that I wrote in Nation magazine about my recent travels through the Deep South, in which I had mentioned Fannie Lou. Well, I'm hoping Moyo has a great success and that she brings this off to off-Broadway during a critical election year, something that is being worked on as we speak. Now, talk about good deeds. I met in Santa Barbara with a man named Rod Latham, a native who has loved theater his whole life and has made a real contribution in that beautiful town and beyond. He is the force behind a gorgeous, recently renovated junior high school auditorium called the Marjorie Luke Theater, named appropriately for a woman who taught arts at that school for 3 decades. Latham helped raise the substantial funds, He makes all the creative decisions and now programs its busy schedule. The venue is so first class that artists, speakers, and musicians from all over the country are renting it as they take their work on the road. But most notably, Latham, for 18 years, created and ran a program called Access Theater. No, not about the audiences, but about the performers. All were disabled in some ways. Its productions started in Santa Barbara, but ultimately performed nationally, most particularly in a production called Storms and Illuminations. Latham explained to me how rewarding yet challenging that was. Sign language, for example, is different in various regions of the country, not unlike accents, I suppose. Access Theater has officially closed, but so many of its participants have continued on and given hope, Latham says, to so many others who may have thought their disabilities made a life in the theater impossible. Finally, that L.A. controversy I referred to? Well, a drama called Passover played at Lincoln Center last year. Then it went to Seattle and was just about to open in Los Angeles. But the artistic director of the Echo Theater fired the director of the show, a black woman, at the last minute, and everyone else dropped out in protest. Now, few know all the details, but obviously issues of race and gender have arisen. This is almost being held up as a perfect example of where the country is now. So much division and sensitivity about political correctness. The play itself deals with a racial incident. Well, it makes you realize how difficult it is to present anything like this these days without someone taking a fall. I recall when Theater J's board in Washington fired its longtime and highly respected artistic director because he was daring to do plays in that Jewish institution that also dared to include the Palestinian point of view at times. Well, it's all too bad because theater, as we know, is exactly the place, it seems, to present all sides and let the rest of us decide. Otherwise, Jill, we will all be saying we're sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Well, we are sick and tired of being sick and tired. One of the things that I'm noticing out there, and I don't know if it's happening in your universe as well, but I notice a real divide between people who are enthusiastic about doing things and people who are doing them and just, you know, not enthusiastic about it. And I really wish we could get the twain to meet. I know two young women fresh out of college. One is moving to the city to pursue theater. I mean, she's worked her butt off since she was a kid. And she's going to give it a shot. And another young woman who just graduated Brown, who's gone to work for the Southern District. I'm trying to say that there's a lot of energy and positive and forward motion that I'm not. When I talk to my contemporaries, they can barely get out of bed.
Yeah, and I think you're right about the young people. One other visit I made in Santa Barbara, I could have mentioned this, is to the University of California, UCSB. My sort of alumni, whatever you call it, or I am kind of an alumnus there. And I met with the head of the theater department there, a wonderful woman named Risa Brainin, who's a successful director all over the country. But she does run the theater department there and has done so many amazing things. She started a program called Launchpad, where the students themselves create works, perform in the works. And Risa, incidentally, just to tie up the thing with the Access, the Rod Latham project, Risa last year famously directed a version of the dog in the, remember the dog in the nighttime?
The curious incident for the dog in the night.
She did it in Syracuse. It was written up in the New York Times. She did a version of Syracuse, and she was the first one to cast an actually autistic boy in the role of the autistic lead character. And told amazing stories about working with him, the challenges, and yet he has now gone on to start a program for disabled performers and theater people in La Jolla. So, I mean, this is like full circle here. But it is a lot of the young people you're mentioning, a lot of it's happening in schools, and hopefully then they go back to their communities. You know, they don't all have to go to Broadway. They go to their communities and they start programs, or, you know, go to the small theaters, and they're writing, they're producing. That's the hope, I think. The HAL Princes are amazing, and we will have other HAL Princes, I hope, in the future. But I think they're popping up, they're bubbling up from so many different places now, you know?
And what they need is someone to, we need someone in the middle. What did the Queen call it? The resourceful generator, the ones who are still will go out there and make it happen, and the young ones will go out there, want to make it happen. They just don't know how. What I'm talking about and what I am requesting is we need the people in the middle to.
Right.
And when I say help, of course, everyone helps to the best of their ability. But a little more like, hey, let's get this done. Let's put on a show. An example would be so, I think, encouraging to both the people who are ahead of them who are going, who's going to take this over? Because I'm not seeing anyone except just a lot of blank, blank, blank.
Yeah.
And then the younger ones who say, whose lead shall I follow? Because, you know, if you're 20 and you're talking about, hey, look at the guy who's 83. I mean, that's a pretty huge, or 90. That's history. That's just about, you know, barely living history.
I agree. And you know, in the end, it's about the love of what they do. That's what's sad about this incident out here, that all these people now have lost the jobs. I mean, she was fired, so everybody fired. So that's a lot of crew members.
And that's something that not enough people, that happens in television and so forth. Like, let's talk about Kevin Spacey for a second. All right? And the only reason I'm saying let's talk about Kevin Spacey for a second is because for all of the horror, you know, it's like you always talk about the horror, but you don't go and say, well, sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Never is, or very rarely is there sorry about that. I mean, reading sorry about that is sort of not interesting. I saw in the Telegraph the other day that he was in Rome and he did a poetry reading I didn't see much more, than that. But
has he ever said he's sorry about that? I don't know. I think people are still waiting for him to say he's sorry. But he is a man.
But listen, the thing is, what you don't know is what has happened personally. What I mean by that is you don't know if he said sorry to anybody. You have no idea. You have absolutely, I mean, he has publicly said sorry about this to that or this or that or that, but that was all in the context of this and anyway, this all. And I'm not trying to take a position one way or the other. I am except to say that when you've got a figurehead or when you've got someone who is in difficulty, very rarely do people think about the number of other regular individuals who are affected. And that would be a very helpful, I just believe that would contribute to better understanding of how there's interlocking stuff that goes on and maybe you try and make a different decision.
Yeah, well, we'll hope that, I'm not going to say whether we'll see Kevin Spacey on Broadway again. That man contributed a tremendous amount to all three mediums, a tremendous amount. We can never take that away from him. And who knows? You know, people do come back. Maybe he starts with a poetry reading in a little bookstore in Rome. And I bet I know the bookstore, by the way. But
it was in front of a fountain. And wasn't the Trevi fountain. It was, I don't think. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Or if not a fountain, a statue. I don't know. It's easy enough to find. It was in the corner of my eye. But
he'll crawl his way back. But you can't say that man did not give a lot to the theater when he didn't have to. And so anyway, what can we say? We don't want to end on a sour note. We want to end on a hopeful note that these people, you know, the Faye Dunaways of the world. I mean, it's sad endings for a lot of these very, very talented people who started in the theater, who tried ending in the theater, and we'll hope for maybe comebacks of a certain...
Yeah. Or at least it understand. Everyone could be a little more tactful and understand. Everyone could just try to be a little more understanding. That's
right.
It.
Well, but I'm a little less sick and tired.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.